Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team, too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
Welcome on in. It is the Sports Hub. This is your daily sports talk show, Monday through Friday, Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage right here on FSA. Daily sports talk show, Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. Once again, programming note, no Sports Hub on Friday. It's kind of a daily sports talk show with an asterisk. Unless we tell you otherwise, we'll be off on Friday as Matt will be out. I will be out. And looking forward to being out and about with Northern State Athletics on Lee Park's golf course. There should be nice, and looking forward to that. But indeed, we'll be here today, tomorrow, and on Thursday on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Had ourselves a bit of an audible here today, as Lisa Ware is the head coach. She was slated to join us right around 10:30, but had to call an audible. So she'll be joining us on Thursday of the Hub. That'll be right around 10:30 or so. Michael Warrington, he'll be joining us instead of B103, and then we're talking some more baseball with the head coach of your Aberdeen Smitties, as Nathan Ganelli. He'll be joining us towards the quarter past the hour on the program. David Tewksbury joined alongside by the Cobra, Matt McClure. How are you, sir?
Doing all right. How are you doing today?
Not too shabby. Got to have my coffee here.
Now you're better.
Now I'm even better. I'm ready to rock and roll for sure. But, yeah, you know, sometimes you get up to the line of scrimmage, you don't like the way the defense looks, and you got to call an audible. You know, that's the way it goes sometimes. And Lisa Ware, she sent me a text message this morning. She said that she got a message from somebody saying her daughter's a little under the weather, so she'll be unable to join us here today. So I want to wish her nothing but the best and well wishes to the youngster out there, and she'll be joining us coming up on Thursday. But we're looking forward to volleyball season. We're looking forward to Roncalli coverage. Of course, the first game for football will be on August the 22nd. As it pertains to volleyball, they're taking on Redfield. I was just writing this up here about 20 minutes or so ago. That will be on August the 28th, their first home game there against Redfield on the 28th. First game, or first match, I guess, more accurately, on the road there at Northwestern's place down south in Mallette. That'll be on August the 26th. So high school sports coverage, it is going to be here very, very quickly. And Roncalli, no different. We've got coverage of them with a web stream on HubCityRadio.com.
Yeah, it's coming pretty rapid. They're 36 days away from volleyball. Officially, we're 1 month away from Roncalli football. So it's coming up here before you know it. And I encourage everyone out there to check out the game schedule on HubCityRadio.com. We have the list of every game that will be on for Roncalli, the KSDN Rural Game of the Week as well, plus your matchups for Northern State. So definitely check out the full schedule if you're confused on what games we're going to cover, because it's all right there. It's pretty easy to kind of navigate.
Aberdeen Wings, this, that, and the third. I mean, we got it all there for sure. Just click on the live stream sports tab there, top right-hand corner. Click on View Game Schedule, and away you go. Do need to add the Roncalli volleyball matches. I'll add that also to this list. But as it pertains to just strictly radio, that's all for you right there on the Hub City Radio game schedule there. But I'll also add those Roncalli volleyball matchups there just for good measure there too. And ditto can be said for the Aberdeen Christian volleyball stuff there. So we are getting very, very busy. And, you know, you talk about checking out our website, hubcityradio.com. I'd really also encourage people to sign up for mobile alerts. This is a great, great tool, and it's very, very simple. You're probably on your phone anyway, sending text messages to somebody, and you're a part of like 8 or 9 different group chats. But we always send out the text, hey, we're going live here. Matt McClure's got the play-by-play. You've got Miller Highmore Herald against Roncalli. Here's the link. Boom. We just send it directly to your phone, presented by our friends there at NVC, and it's very, very simple. We send those out every single game day. So, oh, what time's the game? Don't worry about it. We've got you covered. We'll send you the link. We're doing everything for you. We're going to do basically everything other than listening to the game for you. It's all there for you.
It's not a scam. If you get that text, it's not a scam.
It's definitely not a scam. So, you know, it's a beautiful thing for sure, and I'm looking forward to sending out all of those mobile alerts. Again, presented by NVC. Sign up for those today on HubCityRadio.com. He is Matt McClure. We call him the Cobra. And let's go ahead and get to the jump right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And speaking of which, I think that's going to be my game plan at some point in time this week, is to schedule out all of the text messages for all of the games that we're covering this autumn.
That's awesome.
It's a lot. It's a lot of games.
Yeah, that's that's a good amount of games for just the fall. For sure.
And I'll add, of course, the Aberdeen Wings hockey games there on the winter and even into the springtime. But yeah, we'll keep you posted for sure. There is a lot that goes into our fall sports coverage, and we're going to give it to you free of charge right here at Hub City Radio. So this popped up on my news feed yesterday, Cobra, and I thought to myself, yeah, and is this really breaking news? It's really not breaking news, in my opinion. It does have the title in all caps, breaking. Philip Rivers is retiring from the NFL as a member of the Chargers. I thought to myself, is this really breaking news? He hasn't played since 2020. I guess technically 2021, because they played in a playoff game in January of 2021. But he hasn't played in 4 years. What do you mean breaking news? He's not in the league anymore.
Clickbait. That's what that is. But he did finish his career with the Colts.
Yep.
His last couple of years there with Indy. But I mean, when you think of Philip Rivers, you think of the Chargers. I didn't really think it was breaking news. They did a whole video package for him. I think he deserves that. He's an all-time Charger legend. He's up there with Dan Fouts for best quarterback of Chargers history. He's probably the best Charger quarterback in the history of the franchise, so I understand doing it. But I thought this would probably have been done years ago, considering, like you just mentioned, he's been out of the league for more than just a year or two. We're pushing on close to 5 now.
We're talking about basically opening up that window for Hall of Fame conversation. You have to be out of the league. Is it, what, 4 years?
Yep.
Until you are officially under consideration for Hall of Fame. Now, maybe the fact that he didn't, quote-unquote, retire and, you know, put pen to paper doesn't allow him to open up that window until another 4 years from now. I'm not quite sure, but in my opinion, he's got to be a surefire Hall of Famer. He's got to be up there with some of the best quarterbacks that have never won a Super Bowl. Your Jim Kelly's, your Dan Marino's. He certainly has the numbers to back it up.
Yeah, I think he's going to get in. He's not going to be a first ballot. I don't think it's going to take him some time to get in, just because they look at Super Bowls more than anything else. And that's probably why Eli Manning's going to get ahead of him. And we've talked about that ad nauseum on this program before. I personally think Philip Rivers, numbers-wise and just what I saw, was better during the regular season. Obviously, playoffs are a little bit different, but I think it's going to take some time for Rivers to get in, just because he never won the big one, and that's going to be a problem. I don't think he had many of the MVPs, the individual accolades that a guy like Dan Marino had. I mean, Dan Marino, he's considered maybe one of the best top 3, 5, wherever you want to put it, quarterbacks of all time, and he never won one. So we'll just have to wait and see. He's definitely going to get in, though, I think, at some point in time.
You mentioned Eli Manning, and a good eye test for me, or a good litmus test, is Were you ever a top 5 or top 10 quarterback in the league? Whenever you watched a Giants game, were you like, oh man, we gotta get prepped up for Eli Manning? I mean, I can't recall how many times he threw 3, 4, 5 interception games out there. He had one against the Seahawks back in the day. I'll never forget that one. And I'm like, this guy is Hall of Fame? I mean, yes, I get it. He's got 2 Super Bowl rings. He beat Tom Brady because it's golf. It's one-on-one, totally. But, like, what are we talking about? Eli Manning is the Hall of Very Good. Like, he was a good quarterback.
Yes.
But he's got 2 Super Bowl rings, so he's going to go into the Hall of Fame, which is kind of crazy to me.
Yep, and he defeated the 07 Patriots that were undefeated at the time. So that just bumps up his resume even more. But, yeah, there was a lot of times where I bet Giants fans maybe thought the same way. Like, what is this guy doing with these interceptions? But he had that stretch, those 2 runs from January on, where he just turned into the Terminator or something, dominated. So we'll have to wait and see. But I think that's where Phillip Rivers gets hurt. And a guy like Eli Manning, I personally believe Rivers is better, but he didn't have the Super Bowl, so he's not going to get in.
That's the way it goes, for sure. I think it was 2013. He led the NFL in picks, through 27 of them. Eli Manning did. And I'm like, man.
Career 500 record.
Yeah.
As well.
Completion percentage around 60, which is good. Career quarterback rating 84. Not great.
How about this? When was there a time where the Giants, under his reign as quarterback, where they were the best team in football? Like, during the regular season. That never happened.
No.
Never happened. You remember some of those Charger teams that were the number one seed?
Sure, yeah.
They didn't get it done, but they were dominant a couple years under Rivers. And maybe, I'm probably pushing a couple. It was probably 1 or 2 years where they were super good. Mm-hmm. That never happened with Eli Manning. They'd be 9-7, sneak in, and go in and make a run in the playoffs.
Got hot at the right time, I guess. They just won the last couple of their games. And
ticks me off.
For the last couple of years of his coaching career, it was like, is this going to be the year Tom Coughlin gets fired? No, they just caught fire in mid-December, and all of a sudden, the next thing you know, they're
playing
in January.
Every time he was on the hot seat, he'd go on a run, and that'd be it would just reset the cycle.
Here we go. Save my job again. Pretty wild, for sure. Our guy, Paul Skeens, big shout-out to him yesterday as the Pittsburgh Pirates, they picked up a win.
Oh.
As did Paul Skeens. Yes, his ERA now 1.38 over his last 13 starts. And he didn't get a whole lot of help. They won it 3-0 there yesterday over Detroit. But he went 6 innings of good, solid work, 3 hits, 6 strikeouts, only 86 pitches, 55 of them for strikes, but got to pull him because
that
analytics.
Makes absolutely 0
sense. Yeah,
and
analytics say he's going to struggle through this lineup again. But nevertheless, our guy Paul Skeens picked up a win there yesterday. Shout out.
I really wish the Pirates would have lost that game 4-3. I'm serious. Yeah. You got to keep a guy like that on the mound. He's got 86 pitches. I've said this a time or two before, but what's the difference between 86 and 95 or 95 and 105? There isn't much of a difference, in my opinion. These guys can throw multiple innings, a ton of pitches, and I don't know why. If you're the Pirates manager and you're fans of that team and you're watching that game last night, you're thinking to yourself, why are we pulling this guy? You're telling me you got more confidence in the bullpen than when he's out on the mound? That makes absolutely 0 sense whatsoever. None.
They're blessed that they won the game yesterday. They're blessed because, to your point, would have been real, real funny. Oh, it would be a real shame if you go to the bullpen and you find a way to lose it.
What's that conversation like in the dugout? Hey,
we got the best pitcher in baseball.
Let me get on the phone with the bullpen. I bet if I was a guy who ran the bullpen phone, I would have picked up and just hung up right away. What did you say? Okay, see ya.
Yep, we'll catch you later. Yeah, we'll see you there after the game. Yeah, you know when sometimes you see like classic cartoons or something like that, the phone rings and they just pick it right up and then just put it right back down? That's exactly what you're talking about.
Is this a scam call? Is this a spam call?
Yeah.
Hey.
That's not even dignified with a response.
Yeah, like, hey, start warming up the lefty. What? How many pitches does Paul Skeens have? 86. All right, see ya.
Yeah, catch you later. I'll get right on that, Chief.
Yeah.
Get right on that, Chief.
Yeah.
Give me a break. Child, please.
By the way, did you see how the Twins lost last night?
No, because it was at 9:10 at night, and
Correa came up top of the ninth.
Yeah.
They had runners at second. They had the tying run at the plate. He hit a ball like 401 feet to dead center, and it was just short enough where the center fielder made the catch. If it was hit a little bit farther and maybe higher, they would have won.
I was going to say, I did
watch. Or tied the game.
Yeah, I was going to say, I did watch the highlights, but I did not stay awake until the wee hours of the morning for that one. But I did have Mother Nature waken me up with the showers and thunderstorms last night.
That did it to me. I was up a bunch. I heard it right away. When it hit, I woke up right away.
151. All right, here we go. We're up and at them again. Ay, ay, ay. These are another reason why I'm looking forward to fall and winter. You never have to worry about thunderstorms in the middle of December. Looking forward to it. I know. I don't mean to take a turn to negative town, folks, and say that, but it's just the God's honest truth. All right, we're going to go to the Diamond coming up next as we'll jettison out to Fossum Field. Head coach of your Smitties, Nathan Ganelli. He'll join us next. Good to be with you on this Tuesday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. B103's Michael Warrington. He'll be joining us here in about 15 minutes on the program as we're calling an audible. Lisa Ware, she'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour on Thursday. Looking forward to that. And also looking forward to Nora Groft tomorrow. Ashlyn Carlo Blunt, she'll also be joining us on Thursday as well. And also got a phone call out to Jackson Mone. He'll be joining us in the not-too-distant future. So we've got our Sports Hub kind of lined up this week. We've been very, very ambitious. What's the deal?
I don't know. I don't know. That's not like us.
I know. And it's all kind of worked out well, for sure. And one guy, certainly a friend of the program, joining us on the phone line right now, head coach Nathan Ganelli. Coach, good to talk with you on this Tuesday morning. How are things?
Hey, doing well. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure, for sure. And you said to me off the air, it's kind of a muggy one out there. You got practice here a little bit. How's the field? I'm sure probably a little muggy out there, too, a little bit muddy, and got to get in some work here this morning.
Well, the nice part is we're on the northern practice football field because we're going to be playing on some turf in BV. So we're kind of getting these guys a little bit of reps on the turf because, you know, like you said, the field's a little wet right now, and we're just trying to get these guys some live reads off turf. So it's been pretty well, actually.
What do you think the main difference is fielding against dirt and then turf? Is it just the ball moving a little bit faster, different bounces? From your vantage point, what do you think the big difference is?
Yeah, it's just the speed of the ground balls. You know, on dirt and the grass, it kind of slows down a little bit. You don't get those true hops, but on turf, I mean, if they have an exit velo of 90, it's coming at you pretty quick with true hops. So you kind of have to be ready to field that position as soon as that ball is hit. So, yeah, that's probably the biggest difference.
Would you say charging the baseball on turf is even more vital and more important than it is on the grass and the dirt?
Yeah, I would say, you know, just being aggressive, right? I mean, that's what I teach these infielders is be aggressive all the time, right? Because especially on dirt or those soft ones on turf, as soon as you hesitate and let that ball kind of come to you, you know, that runner is going to have an opportunity to get safe, especially if he's a quick cat. So, yeah, just being aggressive on the infield and on the outfield too, right? Because there's going to be times where those guys who are sliding into bases are going to be a little bit quicker too. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, just being aggressive overall.
You have a preference playing on dirt? I feel like if you're a true baseball purist, not to put words in your mouth, but I know that you love this game. I'm guessing that you'd probably rather play on grass and dirt. Is that fair to say or not so much?
Honestly, it depends on the field. You know, like some of the fields that have turf, I'm not a huge fan of, but some that have turf, I love, right? Like Brookings has a beautiful facility. I mean, they did theirs right. They have turf. I love playing there, but you know, I love playing at Fossum too, so it just kind of depends on the field, really.
You guys are really playing well as of late, 5 straight coming into this regional. How do you feel the energy is, the attitude of your squad coming into a best of 3 against Brandon Valley?
Yeah, I think we have a good mindset. You know, like you said, we've won our last 5, and we're starting to see some success on every aspect of the game, right? Hitting, pitching, fielding, things like that. So, yeah, I'm loving it, and, yeah, I'm excited to see how we do against Brandon Valley, you know, a little revenge match from last year. you know, so it's kind of like poetry.
Well, that's exactly where I was going to go next, as head coach Nathan Ganelli joins us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Two very competitive games last year against this Brandon Valley squad at Fossum Field. Now, granted, you guys are different, they're different, but how much does that kind of stick in some of the guys' craw that were on the team last year to say, hey, you know, now it's time to kind of rewrite this story a little bit, go on the road and return the favor to these guys?
Yeah, I think they think about it, because I definitely do, right? Because, you know, last year, you know, we, like you said, two tough games and we lost them. So it's going to be nice to have that in our back pocket, you know, that chip on our shoulder. You know, a dangerous team is a team that just goes out and has fun and is hot at the end of the year. So I think we're a pretty dangerous team.
Do you feel like the team chemistry at this time is at an all-time high from maybe a couple weeks ago, a couple games ago, from the start of the season? Where's your mindset on that?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's been a long summer, right? We're the Johnny Cash team. We've been everywhere, you know. So we've been in hotels. We've been in the buses, eating together all the time. So, yeah, there's definitely a big change that's happened from the beginning of the season till now. You know, the boys are just kind of getting closer together, and it's been a lot of fun for them. You know, it's been a lot of fun as coaches to kind of see them, you know, grow and come out of their shells a little bit and really enjoy the summer. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
You know, it's ironic, as Nathan Ganelli joins us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. We were just talking about the New York Giants and the Eli Manning teams that won Super Bowls. A lot of those teams were road teams that had some really, really good runs. Now, obviously, you love to play at Fossum Field, but you've been on the road all year anyway. So does it kind of feel like this is sort of par for the course? It just jump on the bus and let's go do it up again. It feels like this is kind of sort of standard operating procedure for you guys.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like you said, just hop on the bus and let's go play some games, right? Because that's what we've been doing all summer. So, you know, it'd be weird if we were at home. It'd feel like, you know, yeah, what I mean? Like you said, love playing at Fossum, but with the year we've had, you know, might as well just hop on the bus and go play some baseball. So, yeah, we're excited for it, you know, and excited to have some of those goodies down in Sioux Falls between games too, you know. Going to have probably some Chick-fil-A. That's kind of where we've been living. We went away from the Fly-In GA because, you know, that could get a little old pretty fast, especially when you've been there four, five, six times in the summer. So mm-hmm. we stick to Chick-fil-A, that Panda Express area. So I know the boys are excited for that too.
For sure. And, you know, what would you say are some of your biggest keys here for this upcoming series against Brandon Valley? Is there something specifically you're pinpointing this week in preparation as, you know, for this best of three series? Obviously, you talked about the revenge factor. You played them last year. But is there something that you're trying to pinpoint to the kids here for this three-game series a little bit differently than maybe you did last year?
Yeah, I would say just staying consistent, right? Because there's going to be times where we're up in the game. There's going to be times that we're down in the game, right? And we're going to have some, you know, big emotions, the roller coaster ride of baseball, especially when it comes down to playoffs. So, yeah, just trying to keep these guys consistent, right? Just preaching, hey, don't get too high, don't get too low, right? Just play our game and have confidence whether you're batting, fielding, or pitching, right? You have confidence in yourself, have confidence in your team, and just believe that we can do it, right? Like, if you ever seen the 2004 documentary about the Red Sox,
yes,
they always had this one phrase that said, why not us? You know, so I've been saying that for the past month or so. Hey, why not us? You know, why not the Smitty's? So just keeping these guys consistent and a good mindset and just going out there and having fun and leaving it all on the field.
Starting to sound like Cobra over here when I've got a putter in my hand on the eighth hole at Rolling Hills this last week and looking for some good putts, right? Hey, why not us?
Let's put some of I love saying that. It's on a long putt.
It's a great expression. I love it for sure. Nathan Ganelli, head coach of the Smitty's, joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, presented by Culver's of Aberdeen. And out west this last weekend, you guys really brought the boomsticks in two great series there out west, Sturgis and Spearfish. What clicked for you guys offensively and defensively? Because it right now feels like you're playing your best baseball of the season. It's almost the inverse of last year. Felt like you kind of just lost a little bit of steam towards the tail end of last year. This year feels like you guys are gaining steam. Is that fair to say?
Oh, 100%. I mean, it's really just kind of comes down to all the hard work these guys have put in, you know, all season, right? Just kind of, you know, talking with them about their mentality at the plate, right? Do they need to swing harder? Do they need to switch bats? Do they need to choke up? You know, things like that. We've had guys who have swung four or five different bats this year, and, you know, I guess the ones that they picked out in the last couple of weeks have been their favorite, you know. Baseball is a weird game, you know, so things like that. And just like we talked about before, just the team chemistry, right? Having the boys behind your back in the dugout while you're batting, you know, trusting your defense, trusting, you know, the position wherever it's going to get hit. So, yeah, it's just kind of those puzzle pieces all kind of, you know, have fallen into a nice picture for us.
I mentioned yesterday towards the tail end of the show, I think something that you guys are going to have to do is hit with runners in scoring position, move guys over, getting a guy in scoring position, those kinds of things. It seems to me the games that I've been at and covered that you guys really work on small ball, button guys over, sacrifice flies, sacrifice hitting the ball to the right side to bring home a run, those kinds of things. It all kind of cultivates to this big moment here in the playoffs. So those situations for your crew, you've been trying to get those situations where you're here. We are in the playoffs, and you know it comes natural to them, because sometimes you get to playoffs and teams they don't do all that all year, and you're counting on a guy who hasn't bunted all year to lay down a bunt. You guys have done a pretty good job of trying to replicate those kinds of situations in games.
Oh, for sure. I mean, and that's something that I even, you know, have been working on the past couple of weeks with these guys, you know, especially with pitching or whatever it may be, right? Just putting these guys in kind of weird situations that they might see in playoff baseball, right? Because if they see it once in a regular season game, it makes it a lot less stressful when it comes to playoffs, you know? So, yeah, small ball, it's been huge for us, right? Getting, like you said, getting those guys at scoring position to score, you know, is a huge help for us. If we can put up a crooked number in the first couple of innings, you know, we trust who we have on the mound and everything else. And, yeah, that's kind of been, you know, the name of the game this year, right? We don't have some of those big sluggers like we had last year. We have a couple, but not as many. So just kind of, you know, just finding our own identity and working with what we got.
A couple more here with Nathan Ganelli on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. And we had Michael Dutenhofer in here a couple weeks ago, and you were telling us, I think, about a month or so ago about the glasses on the back of the head. Did you have those on again here this last weekend out west? Because he had himself quite the performance on the hill.
Absolutely. You know, I even forgot about it, and then I feel hands on the back of my head, and I'm like, oh, that's Mikey. That's Mike just putting the glasses on the back of the hat. So I was like, hey, I'm glad you remembered, because, you know, sometimes in the games, the pregame stuff, I forget some things. So, yeah, I'm glad he's dialed in, and, you know, that's kind of been how these guys are. You know, they're dialed into some of that superstitious stuff, you know, which is fine. You know, I was superstitious as a baseball player. I think everybody is to some extent with whatever it may be. So, yeah, I'm glad they're dialed in, because I gave up that superstition stuff a long time ago. I used to have to eat a bowl of Lucky Charms before every game, and, you know, oof, that gets to be a lot. So I'm glad they're kind of dialed in.
Coach Bennett Eisenbys, the knuckleballer, we got to talk a little bit about him and how he's been doing on the mound. The guy just – throws a ton of strikes. He's always in the zone. He doesn't walk many guys. He pitches the contact. But what have you seen from the knuckleball? Has it, you know, just kept evolving as the latest times he's pitching, those kinds of things? And what have you seen from him maybe from now or the start of the season to now on the hill?
Yeah, so we pitched him one of our first games in Rapid City. I mean, way back in, I can't remember if that was April or May. But he said he only throws that knuckleball like once or twice a game. And I was like, what? Benny, that's your best pitch, man. Like, let's start mixing that bad boy in a little bit. And sure enough, he did, and it's working for him. I mean, yeah, he's just got all the confidence in the world. You know, he just gets it. He's a baller. You know, he's a gamer. He trusts himself, right? He trusts his team, right? Because you mentioned he's not going to blow it past you, right? He has to trust on his defense to make some plays, and the boys play hard for him, right? So, yeah, it's been fun to watch him kind of develop into a baseball player and just how much of a team guy he is. We all love Benny, so it's been a lot of fun.
Final one here with head coach Nathan Ganelli on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420, 98.5. Course coverage of these games on Wednesday and Thursday on HubCityRadio.com with Ryan Martin on the call. What does this team look like, talking about Brandon Valley? Are they similar to last year? Are they different? I don't know how much film there really is. I don't know if there's much film exchange in Legion baseball. I don't know how that works. But what have you heard about them, and what do they kind of look like?
Yeah, they're a small ball team, kind of like us, right? So they're going to lay some bunts down. They're going to steal things like that. And, yeah, they're a pretty good squad, right? They wouldn't be ranked number three if they weren't, right? They have good pitching. I mean, they just won the spring league state championship. So, I mean, they're a solid team, right? But, I mean, like I said before, the most dangerous team is the team who's hot at the end and who plays to have fun and plays with their boys, you know? So I really like our chances, and I think we're going to compete with them.
All right, looking forward to it. 7 o'clock, first pitch coming up tomorrow night there down south in Brandon. Then you've got a 1 o'clock first pitch on Thursday, and then, if necessary, a game 3 there on Thursday afternoon. Coach, appreciate you doing this, and best of luck down south there in Brandon.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure for sure. Head coach Nathan Ganelli on Fox Sports Aberdeen. I mean, he mentioned Johnny Cash. I've been everywhere. So we got to roll it out here for sure. But it's almost a good thing that they're on the road because they've literally been doing it all season long. And, I mean, obviously you'd like to have that last AB at home.
Yep.
But, you've been doing it all year. Just keep going with it.
Yeah, keep going with it. You've been playing really well as of late. I think they're going to have to do some different things than maybe they did this past weekend out west against some pretty good competition. And I think a valiant point is these guys have been doing that small ball thing all year.
Yes.
So when a situation comes in the bottom of the fifth inning when they need to move a runner over and you got the 5 or 6 hole hitter up and Coach Ganelli puts on the bunt sign, that guy's been doing it all year. So I think that's something to look for as this series progresses here tomorrow and Thursday.
Did a nice job talking over the music there. It's tough to talk when you're already hearing somebody talk in the background.
I'll be honest, I thought I was listening to a different station, so I was like playing with my headset.
Yeah.
I was really confused.
I know. These things happen. It's a live show, Monday through Friday, right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Take it, Johnny.
Tuesday on to Washington, Houston, Kingston.
Tuesday installment of the Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen. It's my understanding that the emergency alert system just hit us and might cut off portions of that interview with head coach Nathan Ganelli, but this is one of the beautiful things about radio. We are recording this, so if you did miss a portion of that conversation, it'll be posted to our website on hubcityradio.com following the show, and for what it's worth, a severe thunderstorm warning for Brown County between right now and 11:15. So, yeah, I mean, about 58 hundredths of an inch of rainfall, I think, from last night, and looks like some more here this afternoon, too, so batten down the hatches out there if need be, and we've certainly had kind of a swampy start to this week.
Yeah, it's been pretty rainy, and looks like we're going to get a heat advisory in effect, right, this afternoon as well? What's up with that?
Yeah, 102 at the heat index, 92 degrees, and it is going to be a very, very warm one. So it's a perfect time to put on long pants and play baseball. That's a segue. Micah Warrington, he joins us on the phone line, voice of B103. Micah, thanks for taking some time this morning. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. And Cobra was saying off the air, we got to ask him about his tea intake. You've got a lot of games to broadcast today. Knock on wood. Hopefully there's no cancellations or postponements or anything like that. But what's your tea intake looking like? Are you drinking a lot of it to kind of get primed up for this one?
You know, I don't know that I drink the tea. I'm more just a water Gatorade type guy. But, you know, we've actually got a pretty light load out here. Insisted in for the next 3 days. We got 2 games to get today, 3 games tomorrow, and then 1, maybe 2 games on Thursday. So I am very grateful with it only being a 4-team tournament that I don't have to do that many games.
That's fair.
Yeah, because what was it? Was it last year? Was it 6? I know when I was out there, I think there were 6 teams, so only 4 this year, right?
Yeah, I think last year there was 5 or 6. I'm not sure. Milbank is supposed to be in our region this year, but because they're hosting the state tournament, they have an automatic bid into the state tournament, so they don't have to play in a region tournament. So that takes one team out of our region and drops us down to 4 teams.
Wasn't Castlewood in the region as well? Or am I?
Yeah, Castlewood was in our region. Claremont has been in our region before as well. But this year, Castlewood's in a different region, and so is Claremont. So, yeah, we just have – but Groton is an addition to our region, so it's kind of weird.
Does it kind of feel like you wake up at the start of the summertime, and you're like, all right, who's in the region this year? It's like the Big Ten. It's like, oh yeah, okay. So we got USC. They're in the Big Ten this year. Okay, interesting. Is it kind of like that in terms of Legion baseball? Because – I mean, I'm guessing they probably don't send you an email about that. They don't send you a Snapchat message or a fax or a tweet. It's just kind of like, okay, they're in the region now.
Yeah, that's kind of how it is. You find out about midway through the season what your region is actually going to be like, and what teams are in your region, and it changes from year to year. Obviously, you have your staples for teams that are always in the same region, like Sisseton and Milbank are always in the same region, but you have those outlying teams that are kind of in no man's lands that they get moved around a lot, and it does make it interesting in terms of who you have to play, and it makes it difficult for managers too, because now they got to diversify their schedule making each and every year.
So my guess, you're pretty familiar with all these teams covering Post 50, Webster, Big Stone City, Groton. Have you seen these teams a good bit this year?
Yeah, so Sisseton has actually played all of these teams this season at some point in the season. And if we want to just talk about the quality of teams and quality of teams in the region, it's about as even of a region as it gets, in my opinion. You got teams like Big Stone and Webster who are going to be playing ace-on-ace pitching matchup in the first round today at 4 o'clock. And same thing with Groton and Sisseton. We should get two really good matchups today with these teams throwing out their aces. And every team's got at least one ace. And if the ace is on, every team's got a chance to win. So it should be a lot of fun today.
Michael Warrington, voice of B103, joining us on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And Cobra and I were catching up before the show here today about the way these pairings are. Now, I saw this on SD Sports Scene, shout out to Dave Vilhauer, that there are some, the pairings of these games were drawn and not seeded by records. Now, I'm not sure if that was just for Region 2B or also for Region 1B. Was that the case? And in your opinion, why is that a thing? It basically puts no importance on the regular season if that's the case.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure how they did it for 1B, but just looking at the team's records, I would imagine that that is how they did. They did it by the draw instead of actual seeding. And you're right, it doesn't add value to the regular season. I always said for Legion baseball, the regular season doesn't matter until you get to the season doesn't really matter until you get to the region tournament. You, obviously, you want to play good baseball going into the region tournament, so it's kind of it's individualistic in that sense, but I think you're right. You don't get any extra value by winning your games throughout the regular season.
It's idiocy. That makes no sense. I mean, not to throw shade here, but that's idiocy. It's like you can have a team that goes 0-26. It's like, oh, well, at least they're in the region. Like, there should be a baseline reason that you're in, or you're a final seed or something like that. That's idiocy. That makes no sense.
You're right. It doesn't make any sense, and it's part of the reason why I've kind of drawn the opinion that Legion baseball is not what it used to be, because the Legion doesn't do anything until it gets to the region and the state tournament. They sponsor the teams, obviously, by putting their Legion post on each of these teams' names, but they don't deal with any scheduling. They don't create an actual league where you can have value in the regular season, because all these managers are creating their seasons on their own. They're getting the games. They're calling other teams and whatnot. So that's why I've kind of been in the boat of we need to sanction high school baseball and have the high school season run throughout the summer.
Good point.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea at all. And is that why you think you see just the disparity in schedules? Like a team plays a lot more games than this other team, kind of what you were just talking about. Is that why you think we see that?
Yeah, that's exactly why we see it. Like a team like Sisseton, they have a lot of kids who play both Legion and Junior Legion baseball. So the kids themselves are getting games in, but the Legion-only players, the few Legion-only players, they've only played in 14 games this year. So it's like they're not getting as many games as they should. And I know there's a lot of other teams that are the exact same way.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That is really wild. And, you know, Matt and I were also talking. I'm giving you guys like the peek behind the curtain about what Cobra and I get into. We're talking about this from the Legion perspective of the Class A side of things, where Watertown is hosting this year. In theory, Watertown could be a really, really bad team, and they're hosting the state tournament. But, hey, they don't have to play in these kind of playoff games because, hey, guess what? We're hosting. Now, of course, Matt, you said to me off the air, they won 20 games this year, so it makes sense.
Yep.
They don't need to play in these region games. But, again, in theory, they could go 2-29, but hey, we're hosting, so guess what? We don't have to play in these playoff games. They're in anyways. What's your two cents on that? Feels like it's kind of crazy.
It is a little crazy. I understand why they do the way that they do, because if your team's not getting an automatic bid, why would you want to host a state tournament?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But I do understand the point. Like, you should still have to earn your way into the state tournament instead of just, well, our Legion Post is willing to fork over a bunch of money, and now we get to be in a state tournament even though we're terrible.
Mm-hmm. Right. Pretty wild stuff.
So, talking about earn it, how do these teams earn it? Can you kind of walk us through the bracket? It looks like there's a winner, losers type bracket, double elimination type tournament then?
Yeah, it's double elimination tournament, your standard double elimination tournament. Winners move on. They'll play tomorrow at 2 o'clock. You got Big Stone and Webster in the first game today. I think that's going to be a really fun matchup. Big Stone in particular is a fun team to watch because they run the bases as good as anybody that I've seen. They're very aggressive on the base paths as well. So I think that should be a pretty fun matchup. And then Groton and Sisseton, I think that's going to be a great matchup in its own sense. So the two teams played a couple of weeks ago in Groton, and Groton came back and beat Sisseton in extra innings in that game. So I think that is going to be a really fun matchup. I would imagine for Sisseton, we'll get LJ Crooks on the mound today, and he is one of my favorite pitchers to watch because he's got a wicked two-seam fastball that he loves to just start off the plate and break it back on the outside part against the right-handed hitters. And then he's got a breakaway slider as well that really gets guys chasing. So I think he's going to be a lot of fun to watch. That should be a really tight – I think that's going to be a low-scoring matchup. Something like 5-4, 3-2, something like that. I just think that both games today are going to be very good. And it's very important to win today because you don't want to get into that loser's bracket right away. Because if you lose this first game, you got to win – let me count it up. You got to win 4 straight games over the next 2 days.
Wow.
To make it to the state tournament if you lose today. So today is – what I'm considering the most important day of the tournament.
So watch that Sisseton Groton game be like, 14 to 13 or something
naturally.
Crazy like that,
Yeah, that's just the way it always goes for sure. And maybe one or two more here with Michael Warrington on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. Might be a hot take, but I love the double elimination tournaments. I think it's so baseball. You know, in the MLB, you get these one-game playoffs, and it's just like, this is the antithesis of what baseball is. Everything all season is series. Hey, can you find a way to – the better team, in theory, should overtake in a 7-game series. I know you can't do 7-game play-in deals, but do you like the double elimination tournament? Because I personally, I'm a fan of it.
I do. I do like the double elimination tournament because it if you lose one game, you're not out of it. And if a team ever does – it doesn't happen very often, but if a team does end up coming back through the loser's bracket, it is one of the more exciting things that you can see. And I just think, like you said, it's the double elimination is what baseball is because baseball is such a game-to-game basis sport. It's not like football where you can predict the winner most of the time. It's baseball, you never know who's going to win on any given day.
And, you mentioned not starting in the loser's bracket. Do you think it just has a lot to do with the arms that you got? You mean you might be in that third game. Let's say you lose the first game, you win 2 in a row, and then you're on that third game, and you just don't have many arms left. I mean, that's something that you really got to look at, throughout a tournament like this. How many arms do you got in a situation? You might have a kid throwing a couple innings that maybe hasn't pitched a lot all year.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and it really stresses your depth at pitching because, of course, we all know the Legion baseball rules when it comes to pitching. If you throw more than 30 pitches in a day, you can't come back the next day. So you got to be smart with how you use your pitching roster. It really puts these managers in a tough spot, or it can put these managers in a tough spot going through the loser's bracket. But it also means that it stresses how you have to have a lot of games played during the regular season to find out who can pitch and who can't pitch. so you can create that depth instead of just going into a region tournament being like, well, we've got three guys, and if we don't and if we use up all three of our guys, then we're screwed.
And you know, I'm glad you brought up the pitch count thing, because we've talked about this. It sounds like you know the rules pretty well with the pitch count, with the day's rest and things like that. Can you kind of walk us through that a little bit? I know it's what, if you have 105 pitches, you can finish the batter. Mm-hmm. Do you know all the rest days and kind of things like that?
Yeah, so I'm not exactly sure where they break it up, but I know what 30 pitches, if you throw more than 30 pitches, you have to have at least one day's rest. And it's like 31 to like 55 or something like that. Then mm-hmm. you got to have 2 days rest, and then it just increases. And the last thing you can do is that 105. You can finish the batter at 105, but you can't start a new batter. And in a seven-inning game, a lot of times that 105 pitches gets reached by this, you know, can get reached at the sixth inning. So you got to use an extra arm. So it stresses pitchers, because now they have to be efficient inside the strike zone as well.
All right. Looking forward to the coverage, of course, on the B103 website there, of course, bigstoneradio.com, and of course on the B103 Facebook page. You can find all the links right there to catch the games here this week, today through Thursday. Webster Post 40, and then Big Stone Post 229, and then Groton v. Sisseton in the nightcap there as well. Mike, appreciate you doing this, and have a good call there tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure for sure. Michael Warrington, friend of the program on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. I'm going to get myself into trouble, but it's kind of in my nature because I think the coffee's hitting. I'm feeling a little spicy right now. Just because we're talking about pitch counts and these sorts of things, let's just say, just for the sake of argument, for radio fodder, let's say a pitcher goes out there, throws 35 pitches. Game starts at 1 o'clock, okay? They move on to a game 3, which is played the next day.
Yep.
And I'm talking like game 1, he's pitches 35 pitches. Game 3 happens the next day, and the pitch, it's not a full days of rest, but it's like it's at 3 o'clock or 4:30 in the afternoon or something like that. So it's a full day. Can you still get him in there or something like that? Like,
that's an interesting point.
Hey, it's the fifth inning. We need some guy to get us 6 more outs. Can you throw the guy that gave you the first couple innings day 1? I mean, it's after a full day. It's 25 hours later. Is that possible?
Are they that precise about it?
Right,
that's
exactly.
That's a good question. That's an interesting thought. I think you should be able to do that,
mm-hmm.
in my personal opinion, but I'd love to see the rule on that.
I really would too, no doubt about it. Coming up next on the show, we'll wrap things up, talk a little SDGA Junior Championships after this. Sports Hubbing It Up on a Tuesday installment of the show. Our thanks to head coach Nathan Ganelli and Michael Warrington for joining us here on FSA. Head coach Lisa Ware of the Aberdeen Roncalli volleyball squad, she'll be joining us on Thursday. Looking forward to that discussion with her. Sticking on the volleyball circuit, Nora Groft, great head coach for the Northwestern Wildcats. She'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour. That is tomorrow. SDGA Junior Championships underway down south in Mitchell, and a good start for J.C. Pugh of Miller in the girls 16 to 18 age bracket. She's sitting in first place. Course played pretty tough yesterday. If you look at all of the scores across the landscape, you can check it all out on our website, hubcityradio.com. Pew, a 1-over par, 72 for her. Gabby Olson of Watertown, she's 2 strokes behind her. Rylan Horning, Class A champion from Rapid City, in third. Olivia Braun is 5 strokes back of first place there. She's in fourth place. So this is day 2 today, again, weather permitting, mm-hmm. and day 3 tomorrow. So I would imagine still a lot of room for movement,
yes.
for everybody.
Yeah, I think you could see somebody like Olivia Braun make a run at it. It's going to be a tough course. And I'll tell you what, that Olson has really stepped up
her game
this summer. Watch out for her as the season, or when the spring season comes. She's had a really, really good summer.
7 birdies on 1 back 9. That's all you need to know. We're back at it tomorrow on Sports Hub FSA.